Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and thank you for tuning in today. You may have noticed the last couple of shows have been reruns, and today we've got a unique situation. I had a heart attack on the 3rd of August and had to have quadruple bypass. So we're trying to do recovery from that. And we'll soon get back to full strength and back to doing a full radio show. Also, Melissa, she's on vacation in the Outer Banks. So we've got Bob and Mary and Hal and Rainer with us today, bringing you an excellent show.
Okay. Welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call for August 22nd. I believe it's August 22nd. I'd have to check my calendar, but I don't have a calendar with me. Again, this is Bob Griswold and Mary Griswold and Rainer James and Hal James, and we're a skeleton crew trying to do the show, and go for it, Hal.
Well, August 22nd is Rainer and my anniversary, so I happen to know it's a Saturday night.
Oh, excellent.
It's the 23rd.
No?
Oh, Saturday night, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, see, now this show is not organized the way it's normally organized, but you'll have to forgive us.
So Saturday morning at 6 o'clock.
Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. I hope you're listening to this show. And if not, 11 o'clock Sunday morning. And if not, 8 o'clock Sunday evening. And if not, it's available.
You missed it.
it's available on cctaxpayers.com. Welcome. I don't have an agenda, but I'm going to open it up because, Mary, go for it.
I want to talk a minute about the post office. We have been hearing a lot about the post office lately, and Nancy Pelosi called the House of Representatives back in session. She wasn't willing to give us any kind of coronavirus relief, but she was worried about the post office. And the Daily Signal has posted an article on August 18th about 10 myths about the Postal Service and the things that are being claimed by the people who are in panic because President Trump is going to steal the election by sabotaging the Postal Service.
Well, wait a minute. Let me interrupt you for one second. I believe it was Susan Rice that said she reported that mailboxes were being stolen.
I'll get to that. I do have information on
this.
The first myth is that the Postal Service is removing sorting machines to sabotage delivery. The reality is, the volume of mail has plunged in recent decades due to electronic communication. Think of how many emails you get in the morning versus what your morning mail at a business used to be.
What we most forget is a few bills and a whole lot of advertising, people asking for money for one thing. Right?
Yes, we're keeping the publishers in business
exactly.
Is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I used to actually write letters and send them to people.
I used to do that too. Myth number two. The Postal Service is removing collection boxes to block mail-in ballots. The reality is the Post Office has more than 141,000 blue collection boxes spread across the country. The boxes are moved regularly from low-demand to high-demand areas to maximize efficiency. So they normally move
around. How sinister is that, right?
Yeah. Okay, now the Postal Service is locking collection boxes to prevent public access. Well, actually, sometimes they do put locks on collection boxes in areas where there's a rash of mail theft. They put the caps on after the final pickup of the day and remove them in the morning, since most of the theft happens at night.
I was going to add, there's another technique that's going on. It's called mail phishing, that apparently with just a single scoop into a mailbox, that in the middle of the night, folks have been coming by with a fishing rod and a weight and some kind of grease or whatever else, going in there and fishing and pulling out pieces of mail. So the post office now has decided they're going to do a snake type trap that you can't get a fishing rod in.
Interesting.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, next myth. The Postal Service could go bankrupt before the election without a $25 billion bailout. Don't they love to spend our money?
Yep.
Well, actually, revenues have been stable. Congress provided $10 billion loan to the post office earlier this year, and there's no scenario where the post office goes bankrupt this year. Okay. The post office plans to triple postage rates on mailed ballots. That's another myth. No. The Postal Service provided common sense guidance to state and local governments regarding how to handle time-sensitive ballot requests. The guidance was already in the works before Postmaster General Louis DeJoy began his job. Now, a lot of these myths are focused on the new Postmaster General. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we're finding out a lot of things were in the works before he got there. So the idea that this sensible guidance amounts to extortion by DeJoy should be laughable, except that it has been promoted by the likes of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Does anybody pay any attention to anything he has to say? It never is true.
Okay. Myth number six. Postal Service delivery changes are illegal sabotage by the Postmaster General. Okay. DeJoy assumed the Postmaster General's post in June. He was selected because he was the CEO of New Breed Logistics, a supply chain company. That company is focused on maximizing cost efficiency and on-time performance, both of which the Postal Service needs to improve.
Are you practicing your British understanding?
With that in mind, he has taken initiatives aimed at reducing costs and improving service levels. It's too early to tell whether these changes will be successful, and he has agreed to suspend the changes until after the election in order to quell the panic that is going on. Okay, myth number seven. The post office needs more money to process mailed ballots. That is garbage. I mean, the post office handles about 2.75 billion items per week. That was 2019. Excuse me, with spikes at the holiday season. Mail-in ballots will represent at most a few percentage points of total volume this fall. They don't need additional resources. Okay. Number eight, the Postmaster General massacred Postal Service management. Well, he took over and he made some personnel changes.
Surprise, surprise.
Like most people do when they take over a company.
Sure.
Okay, myth number nine. Rainer, you'll love this one. The Constitution requires a government-run postal service.
Hogwash.
This one's not, actually.
Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution authorizes Congress to establish post offices and to provide for postal roads. That doesn't mean that post office and roads are mandated or that badly needed cost savings are a constitutional crisis. And finally, myth number 10. The Postal Service loses money only because of unfair funding requirements. Well, the reality is the Postal Service is weighed down by exceedingly high employee compensation costs, which averaged more than $97,000 per worker in 2019.
Holy Toledo.
Part of that includes a retiree health plan, which has obligations similar to a pension. Now, bipartisan legislation in 2006 required that the Postal Service pre-fund the retiree health plan, like a pension plan. That's intended to ensure that there's money to provide for health coverage when the employees retire. Unfortunately, the post office has failed to uphold its funding obligations, leaving the plan $69 billion in the hole as of last fall. And furthermore, the Postal Service would have lost more than $4 billion in 2019 alone, even if it had not paid a penny into the health plan. So we're hearing a lot of stuff about the post office. Most of it's not true.
Well, you know, my father retired from the postal service, and so did our daughter-in-law. So Ray and I are somewhat familiar with the post office. And one of the things that I can remember back a few years ago, they reorganized the postal. It went from the U.S. Post Office to the Postal Service, and it became more autonomous from the rest of the government. And so they do have a certain amount of autonomy from the from being run by the government, you know, other government employees. So I don't know. I think a lot of those accusations are misleading. I really do.
Yes, totally.
Well, they're not only misleading, but I suspect it has been done with malice. I suspect some of the people who have perpetrated these myths knew darn good and well that what they were saying was untrue.
But they also knew that the mainstream media was not going to report the truth. The information I got was from the Daily Signal. Now, I believe the Daily Signal is put out by the Heritage Foundation. And they are known for doing good research. But the mainstream media is not going to cover this, and everybody's going to think that President Trump is trying to sabotage the post office, which is totally untrue.
Yeah.
You know, I like to tell a little story that my family has, in, you know, family story. Our son John went back to visit in at the country church that we belonged to. Mm-hmm. In fact, Dad was the treasurer of that church and one of the elders, deacon, something, I don't know exactly what they called him. But he went over and went to the church, went inside, and a gentleman came in, must have seen him go inside the church, and just came to sort of check and investigate. And he said, "What brings you to visit our church, son?" And John said, "Well, my dad used to be an active member here, and he was the
granddad,
I mean. And he was an active member here, and I hope that you all remember him." He said, "Well, what's his name?" And he said, "Well, his name is William Kelly James. He'd like to be called Bill." He said, "Oh, you mean old Wrong Box James."
There are advantages to living in small towns and having roots. There really are.
Yeah, that's right. Another subject I wanted to bring up. You know, CCTA has been hit, I think, kind of unexpectedly and hard in that I'm not trying to say that Rick and I are indispensable people, but Rick has been our radio show host and serving down as our chairman, and he had that heart attack, and so he hasn't been as active. I've got a neck brace on now from the surgery I had, so I've been unable to work like I used to be able to. I just want to congratulate all the members of CCTA who have carried the load, picked up things, like Bob is doing a microphone here. And last night, I know one of the principals in our public meeting last night was
Gladys Sussel.
Gladys has done a wonderful job. And Gladys called me. I called Gladys to ask her how it went. She was telling me how well it went. And then she said, "We need to get right on what we're going to do for our next meeting in September, because the business meeting and the public meeting are just in the same week. So we need to get on it." So I've got so pleased that we got someone who's acting aggressively in our absence. And
yes.
I want to congratulate all the CCTA members who are working hard to make things happen just as they're supposed to.
Excellent, excellent. I think it's time for us to take our first break, so we'll be back in just a few minutes. Again, this is Wake Up Call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to the CCTA Wake Up Call. Hal, you'd like to...
I'd like to pick up again about the meeting that was held at Stanley Hall Ballroom last night. And the people that were there, I think that's real impressive. With Senator Norman Sanders, Representative Michael Spicelli, Representative Keith Kidwell, Melanie Ray, Director of the Craven County Board of Elections, and Caitlin Savadash, I guess that's the way you pronounce that, Director of the Carteret Board of Elections. We haven't met. But I was pleased that one of the handouts that came from that meeting that Mary was kind enough to bring us tonight says three ways to vote. And they're talking about absentee by mail. And as the President has pointed out many times, that means that you have to request it in advance, get it, and it'd be a number on it or something where they can identify what it was and send it back in.
May I inject something?
Of course.
With absentee by mail, the way it's done in North Carolina and many states is not only do you have to request it and get it back, but the Board of Elections confirms that your name and address match up and that you are indeed a registered voter. So it's just not willy-nilly out for whoever counts is on
right.
That.
It's not like just mailing out ballots or some
exactly,
crazy like
yeah.
That.
Exactly.
And you have the one-stop early voting, and that's going to be October the 15th to October the 31st. And I'm telling you, that makes for some long days.
Yes.
Long days and a lot of sights, too. Yes.
Yeah, it does. And then, of course, Election Day is November 3rd. And then on that particular day, you have to go to your assigned precinct. You can't go to one of the early voting places.
You know, along with the request for an absentee ballot, which the ballots will be available, I think it's September 4th, and you can make your request, and then the early voting begins, I think it's October 6th.
They're accepting the requests now.
Yeah, they're accepting the requests, yeah. but the ballot is not even formalized until September 4th. But yes, sir, Mary.
I just want to mention that if you are concerned about voter fraud, there is something that you personally can do about it. You can go to the voter rolls and see how many people are registered to vote at your address. You go to the voter rolls, you put in your county and your street, and it will tell you how many people are registered to vote at your address. If you come up with five names and there are two people living there, then you need to report that.
Yes, and you know, last night we had Jay Delancey as a guest speaker, and he was saying, and I was very, very pleased with the way that Jay was defending our Board of Elections directors and whatever else. Maybe not every Board of Elections is able to act in the way that we act. But most of the problems that they have is because of the way the laws are written, such as you cannot ask for an ID. He explained a story where there was a woman that came to vote and had a very, very pronounced, distinctive scar. Later on, as an observer, the observer noticed this person came back to vote again. And then later on, the person came back to vote again. Now, I'm not sure if it was the third or the fourth time, but the person came back and gave the name of a man. And the observer went to the judge and said, she can't vote for that person. And the judge came up and said, you know, well, why not? Because that person is a man and she is a woman. And the woman had essentially a meltdown because she was not allowed to vote for that man. She says, I've done this for years. It doesn't make it right. So finally, she left and she came back with two lawyers, I guess it was, to try to plead her case because they were sort of saying, well, you know, I can't ask you for your ID, but I know that you're not that man. So the two lawyers came in and said, we hear that you are denying her the right to vote. And the judge rightly said, yes, she was trying to vote as a man. And the two persons looked at her and escorted her out. So
very quickly, because had she been in the building and they had managed to get the police there, she could have been arrested on voter fraud.
And it's a shame that wasn't done.
That is true. But they knew enough. She was coached. She mm-hmm. was said, you're denying my right to vote, despite the fact that she was voting for somebody else.
And had already voted how many times that day?
At least two.
At least two, maybe three. I'm not sure.
No, I don't. And there's another story. It's up on the voterintegrityproject.com website.
Which is Jay Delancey's website.
Yes.
Yes. A woman in New York who voted by absentee ballot in North Carolina. She didn't own property in North Carolina. Her parents had sold the house she grew up in years ago. She had no intentions of returning to North Carolina. When she was interviewed by a radio host who evidently got wind of the story, she said, I just wanted to vote in North Carolina. She doesn't live there. She has no reason to vote there. It wasn't made clear whether or not she had voted in New York. But that is illegal. That is voter fraud.
Yep.
You know, Mary, when you mentioned multiple people at an address, now Jay Delancey, again, with this Voter Integrity Project, he's saying if you find multiple people at your address that do not, in fact, live there, don't bring it to the Board of Elections. There's not really a lot they can do. Send it to Jay.
Oh, wow. Yes, send it to the Voter Integrity Project because they will know how to proceed from there. And again, we don't want people voting in our elections who are not who they say they are, do not live where they say they live, and are not honest voters. Every illegal vote cancels the vote of a legal voter.
Yes, yes. And so what you're saying is that if people check on their own address, there are more people supposedly registered to vote there than there really are, that they should send that information to
voterintegrityproject.com. There'll be a link to at that website to where to send it. But this is more likely to happen in a house, say, that 10 families have lived in over the years, and the ones that have moved out have not necessarily change their address or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. So
it opens the door to abuse, whether the people yes. intended originally to abuse it or not.
And if you're going to talk about voter suppression, every illegal vote suppresses the vote of a legal voter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if a person wants to know more of the details, like where the early voting, one-stop voting will be held, the locations and addresses and things like that, they can go to www.cravenvote.com, all one word, cravenvote.com. And that's the Board of Elections on the website, and they give a lot of information in there.
I'll tell you something that really disturbs me about voting, the mass mail-in voting kind of problem. We've heard stories already about in the primaries things that have happened, many, many ballots being delivered to an address where nobody lives, a parking lot, mm-hmm. or being delivered to an apartment house where there are about 50 people and 100.
Yes, or left in the hallway.
Yeah.
Or two dogs and a cat.
Yeah. I honestly believe that if this election is handled that way, we will not have an election. We will not have legal voters voting appropriately. We won't be able to have enough legal votes for it to go the correct way.
Now, last night, other guests that we had there were Norm Sanderson, our state senator, Michael Speciale, our state representative, and also Keith Kidwell, state representative. Mm-hmm. Now, they have assured us that there won't be the mass mailing of ballots, that at least, and I'm not sure whether it's true in all counties, but in this county, let me back up just for a second. What can happen is somebody is trying to fund that when absentee ballots are requested, you're going to get the absentee ballot and you're going to get a postpaid envelope to send it back. Now, the problem with a postpaid envelope, when you know, is it's never stamped. So what
there's no date
that it was returned. If you use a regular stamp on an envelope as it comes through the post office, you will have a date of, was it mailed before the close of election day?
Right.
Okay. Whereas if it's using this bulk mail thing, there's no proof, and he talked about mail harvesting, that they would go around after the election, and the obvious example was Orange County, California. There were six Republicans, and Orange County was known as a Republican stronghold. Six Republicans that on election day won their seats.
But after election day,
they kept bringing in more and more ballots. They had magically found these in the post office. They had magically found them all over the place, and all six lost their races. So it's not only an election, but it's also a court ballot.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I'm very serious about this. We could lose our republic to mail-in voting, mass mail-in voting.
Yes.
It may be that every county in North Carolina is not going to permit that, but there are, and I don't have the article in front of me, but there are a number of states who do regularly and more who have added themselves to the list citing COVID-19.
Some of us are old enough to remember the Nixon-Kennedy election.
I count me in.
Where Mayor Daley in Chicago just happened to come up with enough votes as we ended election night to put John Kennedy over the top in Illinois, which gave him the presidency. And Nixon stated later he knew that there was some hanky-panky going on, but he didn't want to put the country through what he would put it through if he questioned the results of the election.
Well, it was assured at this point to me in the U.S. House, District 9, when they had some members of people who were, had access to the ballots, I don't know how, but they took them in a back room and did some things with them. And then a judge later turned the results of that election out.
Vote harvesting,
right.
Yes.
So, you know, people can say that those kind of things never happen. We know in North Carolina at least one time recently it has happened in a pretty extensive way.
I think as we saw last night, the Craven County and Carteret County will really, and Keith chimed in for Beaufort County also, will try to do the best job that they're possibly able to do.
And Norm Sanderson also mentioned last night that every year since he has been in the Senate, they have tried to clean up the election laws, and there were some changes made this year. I'll have more on that probably from Michael in about a week.
Okay, we're going to take a break now, and I think it's, oh, that's an alarm that says take a break. It also says take my pills. we're going to take a quick break. Again, this is a CCTA wake-up call.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call radio show. Do we have anybody that would like to bring up a topic?
I'd like to talk about Dr. Robert Epstein. He's somebody that I've been hearing about several different places lately, on Breitbart for one. Glenn Beck has had him on both radio and TV from time to time. Excuse me. He is a PhD type doctor. He's a senior research psychologist with the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology. And he has been looking at the likes of Google, YouTube, and some things they're doing. He predicts that Google will shift 10% of voters to make Trump what a Google executive refers to a blip in history. They are trying very, very hard to sway persuadable voters to abandon Trump. And they're doing it in ways that are very, very creepy, Orwellian, disgusting, call it what you will. First place, Google is isn't just a monopoly. He describes it as being to the point of like a totalitarian government, because there's nobody else in their league. There's nobody else who can do what they're doing. They have something like 90-some% of the searches worldwide. Mm-hmm. They're sitting right on them. And if you do a search, their search algorithms are such that if it's anything to do with politics, it will direct you down a liberal path. Mm-hmm. It will be an anti-Trump path. They are even using subliminal messages flashed at a rate that's beyond what you can necessarily perceive.
But it goes into your brain.
Exactly.
Yeah, theaters used to get people to buy popcorn that way.
Yes,
years ago.
Same thing. And the YouTube is being used in much the same way, in that if a search is done for any remotely connected to politics subject, they have the next video. The sequence in which they come up and what they are showing is designed to change a person from a conservative bent to a liberal bent. And he's estimating that with these nefarious means that they can shift a good 10% of voters away from Trump.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it is really scary. And Google has tried really hard to keep a lid on it. But there have been some people, Voorhees is one, who left the company and took with him 950 pages of documents and a video. Two of those documents were Google's blacklists.
Wow.
Which they claim not to have. More and more stuff is coming out on this, and I think someone has even suggested that Dr. Epstein's life may be in danger.
Probably.
Yeah. So I had not heard of it until the last week. I don't know whether other people are aware of it either, but I think it's something that's worth paying attention to.
Do you know if this came out as a result of that investigation that they were doing in Congress of the, we call it, that type of media?
Oh, the social media.
Right.
I don't know, and Frank, I don't mean to be cynical here, but the current makeup of the House of Representatives, yeah, I don't trust their investigation particularly.
I think they were truly anti, antitrust kind of interest,
yeah,
in terms of the monopoly.
And not looking at the content.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think they love all the work in terms of shifting things to being liberal.
I remember in 2016, one of the media analysts, and I don't remember who it was, made the comment that he felt that the social media had shifted 15% of the vote to Hillary, mm-hmm, that Trump's numbers would have been 15% higher were it not for things like Google. Now, most of us here, I think, use DuckDuckGo,
yeah,
for that reason.
And I use Yippee, which is similar.
Okay, but it's not Google.
Definitely.
And
it's been a long time since I used Google for anything.
We just have to get people away from the habit of using Google because it is manipulative.
Yes. So that's www.duckduckgo.com or www.yippy.com. They don't let people follow you. You don't get pop-up ads for what you just looked for.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than Google.
Well, their cell phones are getting pop-up ads. Anything.
Well, I get campaign requests.
Full disclosure, I still use a rotary phone.
Lorraine does, too.
Now, I want to mention...
Not rotary, but
okay, it's ancient, but it's not that ancient.
No, okay.
I want to mention, if I can get back to the article.
I know some CCT members that use the flip phones.
The flip phones, yes. Yes, a Razor phone was the best, and they're bringing back the Razor phone also, that little fold-up phone.
For those of you who have followed the story of Spygate, Russiagate, Obamagate, whatever you choose to call it, there is a documentary on the Russiagate scandal in the works. And it's put together. It is supposed to, I'm looking at when it's supposed to, October 1st release. And they're talking to distributors now. You may have to go find it, but it tells the real story. It's based on Lee Smith's book, The Plot Against the President, and some of the people who've been involved in putting it together have been Devin Nunes, Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Mike Cernovich, Roger Stone, and Sidney Powell. And it, the attempt is to show the real story of what went on. And one of the comments made, this isn't political. This is holding the intelligence agencies that abuse their power accountable. Because if that can happen once, it can happen twice.
Yeah.
And we need to make it clear that the regulations that allowed looking at Americans because of terrorism should not be applied to Americans who are not involved in terrorism.
Yeah. I tell you, I was on the phone this afternoon with somebody who worked for the government, did some of this so-called spying, not to do with the president, but was well aware of what the parameters were and what the limitations were, what the FISA court requirements were, and so on, who made an interesting observation. And she worked for the government 20-some years. She said that prior to the election of Obama, there was nobody that she knew of ever in the intelligence service who was a political person. Never.
Mm-hmm.
After Obama, it was riddled with them.
Well, do you remember when we all took a critical thinking course, and I'm not going to mention the instructor's name, but he had been involved in security and intelligence. And he, at first, assured us that what happened couldn't happen. And then later, he got back to us and said, I have to apologize. It did happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many good people in our intelligence community who had no part in this, who are appalled by the fact it happened.
And it bugs them as much as it bugs
those people need to stay there. And the bad apples need to go away.
Amen. Well, I think likewise in the upper echelon of the military and the upper echelon of the agencies, many people were retired. Many people who had been teaching techniques or whatever else, they were retired because their books were rewritten and you were not allowed to ask certain questions. You were not allowed to use certain words. Hal?
Well, I've known right many people that were in the intelligence business. Not that I was, but I did work in security a lot. Even at the Pentagon, they sent me around checking security in various places. Like, for instance, people that made an aircraft canopy or something like that, they had to be kept top secret, so you had to make sure that what it was made of didn't
security.
Get public. No,
yeah.
Right. Well, I know of a person who was in the last couple of weeks, who'd been retired. How long, Rainer?
2006.
They called him back in.
Wow.
Wow. They must be shorthanded.
Well, there is a book.
People that are trustworthy.
Yeah.
There is a book called Catastrophic Failure by Stephen Coughlin that I would recommend in terms of what happened to the intelligence service under Obama.
Very good. Well, I think it's time to take another quick break, and we will be back. This is the CCTA wake-up call, and thank you for joining us. Your time is appreciated. Thank you.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this?
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At The County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in The County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At The County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At The County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of The County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. And
Bob, one thing I wanted to mention, and maybe somebody could add to it, it's going to take long, but I've been really impressed with the A.G. Barr. I think that man, he's been a breath of fresh air or strong person where everybody's been weak or something. I don't know. But when I've seen some videos that he's in and some things he's written, and I just think he's a great guy. But anyway, he's working right now down in Kansas City, or open Kansas City, something called Operation Legend. And Legend is actually a young boy's name. He was 4 years old. He was killed by one of his, what you call, demonstrators or riots or something like that. And so the president sent, with the N.A.G. Barr, you know, he's the one that does that kind of thing. He sent a bunch of federal agents there, marshals and U.S. agents of one kind or another, FBI, but all. I think he named four or five agents in the video I watched. And they've been trying to track some of these people down that participated in those kind of riots and injure or kill people. And since that he was down there with those agents, 18 homicide arrests. Arrest for homicide.
Wow.
And, you know, if the federal government hadn't come down there and helped out, that would never happen. You know that.
An interesting thing about A.G. Barr is this is not his first time in the rodeo.
Oh, no.
And he is a person that is not swayed by public opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, people have come at him as we listen to him being pilloried in front of the House of Representatives. And yet, he stand strong. We are so appreciative of having a man like that in a position that uphold the law.
You know, he's almost above the fray. He seems so to have such a clear picture of what his job is and the ability to, for the most part, ignore the things that are said that are counter to that, that are inappropriate. And when you mentioned that hearing, he got just a ton of totally inappropriate things leveled at him. He was treated abominably by the Democrats. And thank goodness the Republicans were courteous and gave him an opportunity sometimes to reply to the person who had staccato questioned him, laid out a scenario that was totally wrong, and then asked yes or no question and don't waste my time. But my point is, he seems to be able to maintain calm and evaluation of what it takes to do the job that he feels compelled to do. And it's in the abstract almost a perfect image of a true blue, straight up and down, red, white, and blue, honest person. And I'm loving it.
Me too. Well, I wanted to change the subject, Bob, so I don't know about picking up right where we were. Does anybody really want to pick up where we were?
Go for whatever you want.
we can be abrupt.
Well, I've been watching One American News and some other websites and streaming sites, I mean, and I've seen a lot of ads for Joe Biden, and they seem, they make him out to be such a great character. They've been edited, they've been worked over, so there's no mistakes in them at all. And I think that presenting a real false impression of Joe Biden if you hear him, get a chance to hear him in action, but they don't want to really give you a chance. His handlers, I don't know who they would be, members of the party or his campaign or something. The expression is they're keeping him in the cellar. Well, he must be down there in the cellar because you don't You don't see any actual ads of him. And he's not planning a debate. He doesn't want to debate the president. He's putting that off absolutely as long as he possibly can. It just seems... And then his running mate, Milo Harris, I heard someone say, and I thought it was well taken, that whoever is his running mate ought to be chosen very, very carefully, because that person is very likely to be step in as president.
Yes.
At some point. Well, Kamala Harris, if you look at her and what she's had to say about America and some of the things that she's been involved in, that's socialism, you know, right at the top, as far as I can see. So
it was also interesting what she had to say about Joe Biden much earlier in the campaign process.
Yeah, when she was running for president, she was unkind to him, to put it
mildly. To say the least. Yeah. But it's interesting, too. He's been in Washington for 50 years, 53 years, 47 years, somewhere in there. What has he accomplished? Where is the bill with Joe Biden's name on it? If you look at his stance on foreign policy, every one of them was proven to be wrong.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, this is not a record of success. I'm really not quite sure how they chose him as the nominee. I'm not quite sure what their logic was.
I'm not sure who the puppeteers are, but I am sure that there are puppeteers who are pulling Joe Biden's strings.
At the convention last night, he introduced himself as Joe Biden's husband.
I thought he was saying Joe Biden. Are you sure it was Joe?
I posted the video.
And you're convinced?
It was Joe.
Well, I stand corrected.
Because his wife laughed when he said it.
Yeah, I heard that.
And he didn't laugh. He had no idea what he had done. And there is a Republican ad. If you go to Powerline blog, you can see the actual ad, or I assume you can Google it on YouTube, or look for it on YouTube. no Google.
See, we've all gotten into that habit. We use that word.
Joe Biden then versus Joe Biden now. And it's truly sad to see the decline of the man over the past 5 years. Now, we dealt with dementia in our family, and we watched it happen and the way it happened. And the things that we're seeing with Joe Biden are very similar to what we saw. I'm not a doctor. I'm not making a medical diagnosis. I have no clue. But he's definitely lost a step.
Yeah.
I was really surprised to learn that John Kasich had attended the Democratic National Convention, or I don't know how they did it. Was it all virtual, or was it a combination of virtual and person? I'm not really sure. But I don't know. It seems like lately John Kasich has been a loose cannon. He doesn't seem to know where he wants to be or what.
Mitt Romney has the same problem.
Oh, yeah.
He sure does.
Right. And I've read somewhere there were a total of four well-known Republicans there at the convention.
Well, part of that is this, it's popular in some circles to really dislike Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we're seeing is people are not looking at what Trump has accomplished. They're deciding they just don't like Trump.
And you know what, Mary? I think there are a group of people, Joe Biden being one of them, that don't really have a strong philosophy of government. They don't really know where they're coming from. Consequently, if they are charming, well-connected, and so on, they just become will-o'-the-wisp. They are used.
Yes. And they're very malleable.
Yes, for no good.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate, and as you say about Joe Biden, it's sad, because you don't have to have dementia to have a weakness. Mm-hmm. And these people have a weakness. There's no strength there. There's no fortitude there. There's no... what they're there for is money and self-aggrandizement. It is not to achieve something worthy of achievement.
Yes, they're not interested in helping America. This is the amazing thing about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He's giving away his paycheck. He's working 18-hour days, I think. The man doesn't seem to sleep.
No.
And he's trying to do things for the little guy, despite the fact he's not a little guy.
Right. I tell you, Connie Hanna makes that point really succinctly in the Trump report card that's going to be on our Taxpayers Association in Action page on the newsstands now in the county compass.
Cal?
Well, Rainer mentioned money, one of the things that Joe Biden is interested in. Well, I never have understood this concept that some people are above the law. For instance, a candidate for the U.S. president is above the law, apparently, because it seems pretty obvious that he was trying to direct some money into his son's account.
He wasn't a candidate then. He was a vice president.
Yeah, he was the vice president at the time, but I don't know. It just seems like he could be, should have been investigated for that more thoroughly than it has been. Apparently, that's what happened.
Let's hope the last shoe has not yet fallen.
Agree with that.
We would agree with that, yes. Well, you know, folks, again, thank you for joining us on the show. We've had a great time here. Again, this is broadcast Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, Sunday morning at 11 a.m., and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. on 107.1, the talk station, and also the Jacksonville AM station. So, and if you don't catch it there, catch it on cctaxpayers.com. Have a great day.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic. CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. And you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call. You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic. CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.